Man, I'm just excited to see you this morning. Mm-hmm. You could like say, I'm excited to see you too, Sean. You could, I mean, there's like, you could say something. All right, I'm just, woo, fell all alone up here just for a minute, you know, like, God, I was overwhelmed. Like, no. Nah. Anyways, come on, I love you. Come on, D. Love what's happening here. So excited to be right now in this space. And I'm, oh, geez, Bills fan. Everybody's a Bills fan today. Come on. We're excited. I do hope the Bills win. Everybody's happy when the Bills win. It's amazing. But man, we do have these markers. I was excited about this. We've been looking to do this for a while. And I have been hoping to do a Bible marking class on a Sunday night. I was hoping to do that in 2021, but it ran out of time. I'm hoping to do that eventually. I can't even give a date because I'm not sure what Sunday night would work. So we did up these Bible markers. I'm pumped because I got a brand new Bible. It's at home. I ordered it. It was out of stock, and it finally came in. And this is, I am so juiced about a clear canvas. Just everything is clean and fresh. I was so excited. It came in the mail. I'm opening it up like you would have think I was doing surgery, man. I could have put on white gloves. I'm opening up. I'm so excited. And just, I'm like, Renee, look, it came in like this box, and there's this like black wrapping paper. It's like a present. They love me. I was so excited. And she's like, high five. It was nice. She wasn't as excited as I was excited, but it was just so incredible. But I can't wait to dive into that. We are huge fans of Bible marking. We're huge fans of digging into the scripture, reading it, studying it, dig into it, highlight it. What's it say? What's it mean? Who's it talking about? Where is it about me in this amazing story? And I love that, love that. And I'm a huge Bible marker. And I'm a big fan of the Crayola Twistables. Crayola Twistables, in my opinion, are the best Bible markers on the planet. They do not bleed through. They come in all kinds of different colors, all kinds of shapes and sizes. But when you look at the Crayola Twistables, Crayola should pay me because I sell a lot of Crayolas for them. It's amazing. But do not get, in my opinion, don't get the erasables. Like, it's fun. It's kind of cute. Oh, it's got an eraser on it. I can erase. Well, they don't work well on these type of pages, right? They don't work well on these type of pages. And they have scented ones. I mean, Crayola Twistables has gone all kind of, like, if you want your Bible to smell eventually after a while of all different smells stuck together, don't do that. Like, you know, just get the regular Crayola Twistables, man. They're amazing, great Bible markers. And this is kind of a system that I've set up. You can make it whatever you want. Red, I always highlight red for Jesus, He, Him, Lord, God. References to Jesus, references to God the Father, I reference in red. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit is God. But for me personally, I like it when I'm referencing the Holy Spirit, I like to highlight that in blue. Yes, He is God, and you got Jesus and the Father highlighted in red and all of the accounts for them. And then you have blue for the Holy Spirit. I also use blue for references to heaven, references to my spirit, my soul, my heart, my inner person, my mind. Like, that's what kind of what blue is for me. That's what I highlight in blue. And then you have purple. Purple is person, places, and numbers. Like, people's names are in purple. If you're looking at a place, the name of a place, a city, a town, that is in purple. If there's numbers or there's digits or whatever that would be, in names of people, in names of numbers that would be in scripture, names of towns, that's done in purple. And then you have yellow, green, and orange. And I kind of told you what I do with them, but you can make them up as you want. These will be out on the info desk. If you want one, please take one. They're great Bible markers. And pick up some Twistables, and we love them. Come on, if you would turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 2. Man, I'm excited to finish up this little first part of the series of the year called Fully Committed. I'm excited for next week. We bounce into one that we will be in for a little while. On what does it really look like of a life who lives in a mindset of consistency? Consistency brings the victory. That's the name of next week. Consistency brings the victory. Consistency brings the victory. In what areas in our life that we have been faithfully consistent to according to the word, and we see victory after victory, we're going to stick to it. 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 And then victory comes. As well as how many times in our life have we seen us doing starting so good, starting so good, starting so good, and then something hits and we quit and then it falls apart. We didn't understand the reality of consistency biblically. So I'm excited for that next week. Invite somebody, bring a friend, bring a neighbor. We kick that off next week. But I'm excited to finish this up today. Fully committed follower of Jesus Christ. What does that look like? And I want to intro this by a very clear picture of we have the ability to be fully committed because Jesus was fully committed. And when you see Jesus Christ as our example, and you see how Jesus Christ was fully committed to the task that God has called him to, and today we look at if he was fully committed and he's our example and we're his ambassador here on the earth, we here represent him, then what does it look like for you and I to be fully committed in our faith? Come on, let's just pray. And then we'll get into this. Come on, we'll explode Galatians 2:20. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your word. Your word is alive and it is powerful. And Lord, I'm asking that you would speak to every one of us today, no matter where we're at, in different levels of this journey, in different levels of our faith, in different places, in who we are in you. And God, I just ask that you would be able to speak to every single one of us here this morning, here in person and online or whatever we would watch this, God, that you would just speak to us right now. You'd speak to us, God, from your word. And that we will be challenged and that we will be changed. And God, we will leave this place different from when we came in this place. Man, if you would, please, church, just say, Lord, just speak to me in your own heart. Lord, just speak to me today. I'll respond to you. My eyes are open. My ears can hear. And I'll respond to you. In Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. I love it. I love it. So let's look at this. How was Jesus fully committed? When you see that Jesus was fully man, yet fully God. Right, Jesus left heaven, put on flesh, born of the Virgin. We know the amazing Christmas story. And then we understand that then he lived this perfect, incredible, innocent life. And then he went to the cross. But there was this place right before the cross where we see where Jesus was struggling. You mean Jesus struggled? Church, Jesus has gone through everything you and I will ever go through. And there is this moment within. Well, he was on in the garden. There's this moment where we see a very real struggle from Jesus Christ, who is our King. We see where he says, okay, guys, come on. I got to go do some praying. And he gets before the Father. And the Bible says that he was sweating like drops of blood. The Bible says that he was in agony and sweating like drops of blood. And he cries out to the Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's a struggle. That's Jesus struggling. And when you see where he does this, he comes back to his disciples, Matthew 26, he comes back to the Father again and says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And you see no answer given. Then he goes to his disciples, sees them sleeping. Come on, guys, just hang with me for a little bit. And then he goes back, gets on his knees before the Father. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Jesus is struggling. The Bible says that he's in agony. He has this where he's going to be and where he's at now, but I know I got to get to the cross. He knew his plan. He knew he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew that he had to get to the cross. He knew that he was the only answer for all of mankind. He knew it. He got it. But there was a struggle. There was this place where Jesus in a garden where he's in agony and he's saying, hey, is there any other way? And then he comes to grips with this. To say, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. And you see where in that moment, we see that Jesus is fully committed. He's all in. So church, if he is that example, if he is that example for us, then where are you and I in this place to say, God, I want to be a fully committed follower of Christ? Let's look at Galatians 2. And we're going to unpack this. And I want this. I want today to be one of those days that there's one verse. And then all of a sudden this thing becomes so personal for you. that this thing becomes so personal for you. The cross, the revelation of the cross, to know that my sins have been forgiven. What happens when it becomes so personal? What happens when there's a literal change to this and we see what Paul is saying here in this letter of the, we know as Galatians, it's this letter to the church at Galatia. We see this. What happens when this becomes real to me and you? And we just don't do a flyby, but we dive in. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I love this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Verse 21, I do not nullify. Nullify means to annul or to cause to no effect. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Church, you got to see this picture as we go back just a little bit to Galatians 1. Because Galatians 2:20 and 21 is one of those kind of center verses of our faith. It's kind of one of those, you know, it's the bumper sticker. It's one of those bumper sticker verses. It's one of those life verses for many people. It's a coffee mug verse. It's a tattoo verse. Like, it's one of those that it is deep and it means so much to our faith to dive into Galatians 2:20. Many people have it memorized. We can quote it. We understand it. But what leads up to Paul's writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to this passage that is so deep to you and I? And right in the beginning of this letter, I love this in verse 3, he says, grace, Galatians 1, verse 3, he says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. This is a theme. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Man, I want us to get this. Paul writes this and he dives in deep right away. He says, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. But then you get to verse 6, he says this, I'm amazed. Watch this. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you. What? Paul writes this to the church of Galatia saying, hey, man, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you, the one by his grace, that you are so quickly deserting that to go to another gospel. And you got to understand something. When you see Old Testament and you see the laws of the Old Testament, you see the commandments of the Old Testament, and you see circumcision in the Old Testament, that was that covenant that was made before man and God. And then there's these works that needed to be done and the law needed to be followed. Then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ came and grace came with him. And Paul is like, listen, you cannot be saved by works. You cannot be saved by doing. And we hear this, church, and we hear this, church, and we hear this, church. But just as the church of Galatia, they heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They understood by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. There's no way that you can do this thing by yourself. Old Testament, we function from this reverence and this fear of God. And yet still in the New Testament, we function from this reverence and this fear of God. But we function in the Old Testament from this fear of God by following the commandments. And here Jesus came to fulfill the law. And in Paul's writing here, he was shocked. He was amazed that so many were running back to the do list, running back into legalism, running back into the law. Because there was this fight that was going on. No. You got to do this. No, you got to do this. 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 You must be circumcised. You got to do this. And Paul's like, no, you don't. No, it's by the grace of God. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. It's not by the works of men. No, you got to do this. You got to come back. And there was this fight that was back and forth. Then it was fight for the gospel. It was a fight for Christ. And Paul is writing this going, come on, church, hold on. Why are you so quickly going back into law? Paul was fighting for grace. And the false teachers were coming in and trying to persuade people, no, you still have to do this. No, you still have to do this. No, you still have to be circumcised. No, you still have to do this. And you still have to. And Paul's like, no, it's by grace, and it's by grace alone. No, it's by grace. How quickly have you deserted? That's amazing. And you see this all in Galatians chapter 1, and then he gets to verse 10 of Galatians 1, and he says this, For am I now seeking the favor of man or of God? Because you got to see that there was this fight that Paul was in, and he was fighting for the gospel. He was fighting for the truth as he knew and understood it was by grace, and it was by grace alone. For by grace you have been saved. He wrote it. For by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. You can't brag that you made it to heaven based on being good. That's Paul's fight here. And there was this battle to take it back. Paul's like, what do you think I'm doing this? Because I want your favor? I'm not here. This is what Paul says. I'm not here to please man. Verse 10, I'm here to please God. And if I'm here to please man, he says, I can no longer be a bondservant of Christ. You got Paul warming up in this beginning part of the letter. He's warming up, and then he gets us to Galatians 2, which then he begins to unpack this serious fight, because you got to remember where Paul was, right? Paul was the one who was the persecutor. Paul was the one who says, you do it by law. How dare you say by grace, it's by law. And Paul is the one who would go into homes. He was the one who would break up families. He was the one who would take out the husbands. He is the one who would take out the wives and the children. He is the one who beat the feet of these that they were stoning because of the faith. Paul is the one that was so staunch that it's law. I don't believe in this grace. That's what Paul fought for. And he was famous for it. And he says, I was that guy that was fighting for the law. That was me. That former life that I lived. And then we see in Galatians 2, he really breaks down this law versus grace. And he begins to make this serious separation. Of it is truly by grace and by grace alone. And he makes it clear it is not by our works. It is not by our doing. It's not by our list of do's and don'ts. And he picks it up in verse 16 of chapter 2, please. And he says this, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified. Justified means innocent. A man is not justified or innocent by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. You got to understand the day that this was such a fight. This was such a fight. False teachers were coming into the church going, no, you still have to do this. 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 And Paul is like, you need to stop. How can you desert grace? How can you desert grace? Why are you starting to flip sides? You heard and you knew truth. And Paul would be in this battleground for the gospel. I love where he says, listen, I'm not here to gain your favor. I love it when someone isn't concerned about gaining your favor, but they're concerned about the truth for your sake. And Paul is in this battle between law and grace, and he's trying to do his best in writing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit to convince the church, listen, don't desert the truth. And all of this, we see it leads up to where we're going in Galatians 2:20. It says this again, verse 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But watch this. Please hear me. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. No flesh will be justified. Highlight that. If it's not by works, look what he says in verse 17. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. And I love verse 18. I love this. Please see this. For if I rebuild what is once destroyed, why are we going backwards? Have you been there where you are making such ground and you're making such ground and you're making such ground and you feel your faith growing? You feel like, man, I am in this amazing place on my journey. Things are going good. And then all of a sudden, you start slipping and you start forgetting and you start walking back into the old manner of life, the old things of life. And this is what he says. He says this, for if I rebuild that which was once destroyed, Paul was doing everything he could to destroy the sense of saved by works. That's religion. And Paul was there to punch religion in the face and say, no, 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 it's not through religion. This is, listen, I'm strong on this because we still yet today think we're okay by being a good person. We're still yet today think I'm safe based off me being a good person. I do my thing. I give my tithes. I do my good works. I'm okay. I came to the work party yesterday. I'm fine. Like, no, we walk in this. Paul's like, we've got to get it through. It's not by religion. We fight this thing. We fight this thing yet still today. Paul's like, you have worked so hard to build it up. Why are you going backwards and destroying it? Verse 18, for if I rebuild that which I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor, which means you never got it. I don't have a whole lot of time to get into this, and I didn't really touch on it in the first service, but today we're seeing a lot of people, public figures, back out of their faith. They'll use the big term deconstruction. They're backing out of their faith. I once believed it, I don't believe it anymore. But yet they've lived in that lane for 20 years or whatever, how many years they would claim faith and they led people in faith. But there was something, there was a seed that was planted somehow that they allowed to take root. And all of a sudden now they're like, I'm done with Christianity thing. I'm backing out. And here I believe Paul is looking at this in verse 18 saying, for if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor, which means I never really got it. Church, please be very careful. When we're talking law and grace, please be very careful. We would have the very real understanding of religion and the mindset of I do this and 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 I do this, but we miss the idea and the truth of this is about a relationship with Jesus. And what happens when this truly becomes so personal, even maybe for you today, this thing becomes so personal, this relationship with Christ, based off of what he's done, based off of, watch this, him being fully committed to you. That we in turn would be fully committed to him. That we work so hard to build, to build, to build, to build, and we get to this beautiful place that we would love to be in our faith, and then all of a sudden, something knocks us back, or seeds get planted, or false teaching gets planted, and all of a sudden, everything that we've worked up for begins to decline and get in destruction. We just prove ourselves to be a transgressor. You got to get the depth of this, the context of this leading up to this beautiful, amazing, wonderful verse of Galatians 2:20. And he says this, verse 19, for through the law I died to the law. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I died to the law, and we have to die to that mindset of good works will get me there. I'm a good enough person to get there. If I do this, if I do that, if I do this, if I do that. No, first comes the relationship, and then comes the obedience. First comes, I understand the grace of God is enough, and I'm saved by grace. And then, yes, there's obedience to the word that must come. But he's trying to crush the religious side of this thing. And he makes it very clear that it is truly Jesus and Jesus alone. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And he said, I had, and again, the depth of Paul's writing here is stunning, because Paul is the one who says, listen, I was that guy. I lived the law. I was a Pharisee. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was that guy. I'm the one that the council would give me the paperwork to go arrest the Christians who believed in grace. But yet I pushed the law. Like when Paul said, I had to die to the law. That's a stunning statement coming from Paul. When you know the depth of who Paul was, he thought he was doing God's service. He thought, listen, I'm doing this to God. I am effectively imparting the law. I'm living by the law. These guys are living by grace. I'm going to persecute those living by grace. And he was law. He was law. He was law. He was law. He was famous. He was well known. He was law. This is what he did. And when Paul says, I had to die to that, you imagine why he's fighting so hard here in the first part of Galatians. And then he drops verse 20 on us. For I had to die to the law so that I may live to God. For I have been crucified with Christ. For I have been crucified with Christ. And church, this first sentence of being crucified with Christ, I mean, what could that possibly mean? When you read scripture, ask questions, dive into it and ask questions. What does it mean when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ? It is no longer I who live. No, I died to the law. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? You know, we find that in Colossians. It'll be up on the screen. Colossians 2:14 gives us this amazing picture of what it means to be crucified with Christ. What was it? And crucified, it means to be dead. It means to be dead with. Like, what is it that was it that died on the cross? When he says, I have been crucified with Christ, what was part of us that was crucified on the cross? Where was Christ crucified? On the work of the cross. That was the work of the cross. When you dive into this and you understand where he's saying, listen, I am done with the law. There's no way the law can save, for I have been crucified with Christ. Well, what was it that died on the cross with Christ that we can say that was crucified there? Colossians 2 says this, 13, I'll catch up to 14 in a minute, says this, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. Jesus made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression, having canceled out the certificate of debt. This is verse 14. Having canceled out certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us, and he had taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That certificate of debt, that decrees, the decrees that are hostile against us, that decrees, it's a legal term, it means that which is the legal charge. Church, when we get the reality of this, that the legal charge against every single one of us is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin equals death. That's the legal charge against every one of us. That's that decree that is so hostile to us, is that certificate of debt. That's our sin. That we have, watched this, rightly been tagged with legally. And the same writer here, Paul, to the church of Colossae, I love where you can see a lot of his writings to these letters in the same vein. And again, he says this, having canceled out that certificate of debt, that's our sin debt, consisting of those legal charges that are against us, which are hostile to us, and he taken it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. Church, I need you to get this picture because it's beautiful. It's not like Jesus took that legal pad and put a nail through it and hung it on the cross and said, hey, there's the list of your sins, Sean Overkfell. I just nailed it to the cross. No, when we know the depth of what he's talking about here, that he himself became my sin. And in Jesus Christ being nailed to the cross, all of my sin, all of my shame, all of my guilt, all of my transgressions were crucified with Christ. And when you see the truth of Jesus Christ taking the hit for me and you, this is why Paul becomes so loud in Galatians 1 and Galatians 2 to say, no, it isn't by your works. For I have been crucified with Christ. Back to Galatians 2, please. Every time you see I, it depends on what version, NASB, you see the word I, the letter I in here 4 times. Your version may have it 5 times. And then you see me 3 times. I love this because in one verse, Paul makes Jesus so personal. He has destroyed and crushed the coldness of religion. Religion is very cold. Religion, if you do this, then, 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 it's extremely cold. And in his writing, he makes Jesus very personal. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. There's a sense of an exchange. There's a sense of shift in this verse. Say, I was dead to the law, but I'm alive in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. My sins, my wrongs, nailed to the cross. That's Jesus. He became the payment for our sin. Crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. There's a change that takes place. But it's Christ. Watch this. It's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live. Highlight now live. The life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith. Just as Jesus was fully committed. Just as Jesus was fully committed to get to the cross. Even through the struggle. Even through the agony. Jesus did what he came to do. It's called substitutional atonement. Another word for atonement is propitiation. That God's wrath was satisfied because Jesus took our sin upon himself. God's wrath was poured out on him. It is the substitutionary atonement. It really means that Jesus Christ substituted himself in my place. I rightfully deserve death and separation from the Father. But Jesus was so fully committed to me that he substituted himself in death in my place. And in that, atonement was made. Sacrifice was made so that all of sinful mankind could be reconciled to the holy God. All of that wrapped up in this beautiful verse of Galatians 2:20, where Paul brings it right down to such a personal relationship. But Christ lives in me, the life which I now live. There's that shift. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Paul was fully committed to faith. Everything changed. I used to live over here, but that, watch this, that's dead to me. The life I now live, I'm fully committed to faith. I'm fully committed to trusting and depending. And there's this huge sense of confidence. I have such a confidence in Him. I depend on Him. I trust in Him. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. And Paul looks at this in Galatians 2:20. Say, man, I don't live that life anymore. The life I now live in the flesh in this body, it is by faith. It's not by the do's and don'ts. It's in my trust in Jesus. But watch what he says. We'll close with this. I live by faith in the Son of God, that's Jesus, who loved me. He loves me. So much so that he gave himself up for me. You see where Paul's writing changes to this beautiful picture of how personal this is. He has crushed the religious side of this thing. And he's made this so personal. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Because the Son of God, watch this, loves me and gave himself up for me. Come on, if you just bow your heads just for a moment, please. Church, what's this look like for you? Man, I'm hoping that in the close of this series, being fully committed, that we see I want to be fully committed to my faith because Jesus Christ is the example and he was fully committed to the task. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The God of all eternity in Jesus Christ put on flesh so that he could find himself on the cross to be that propitiation, to be that sacrifice, to be that substitutional atonement, the one who took my place. He was fully committed to that. They were begging Jesus to come off the cross. Just come down. Prove yourself. And I'm so thankful that he was fully committed all the way to the end. If he were to come off that cross, we'd have no hope. He was fully committed all the way to the end. To the point where he cried out, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. I want us to be encouraged today to say it's time to be fully committed to my faith. I'm not here to please man. I'm not here for your favor. I'm here, and I'm saying for all of us, not just me personally, that we would get that mindset. I'm here to please the Lord, and I am fully committed in my faith to trust him no matter what part of the journey I'm on. Maybe you're just coming to Christ. And you're in the beginning part of this journey. Be fully committed. Maybe you're in the middle. Maybe you've been a Christian for so many years, a believer for so many years. Be fully committed in your faith all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Because Paul says, if he came, verse 21, if he came and it was only by works, then Jesus died needlessly. If we could do it ourselves, there was no need for Jesus to leave heaven and for the first time in eternity break fellowship with the Father. If we could ever do this ourselves. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just wanted to get this minute, man. Where are you in this morning? And it is my heart, my goal to come to this place right here, right now in this message. Is Jesus Christ Is it personal for you? Can you take Galatians 2:20 and get to the depth of what Paul's writing here? And say, man, I know I've been trying to do it myself. I bought into a religious system. I really thought I was impressing God. I mean, I've been good. I've been doing this. I've been doing this, and I've been doing that. And my attendance is up. And man, my tithes and offerings are great. I helped an old lady cross the street the other day. Man, God sees that. Man, I know that I'm in good graces with God. I know that I'm doing good. I'm working hard. I'm doing good. I've impressed God. Or we understand that it is truly only by grace. And that you come to a place this morning that you make this thing so personal, because Jesus loves me. He loves me. And he gave himself up for me. Don't look to the right, to the left, but this is about you. This is about where you're at right now in this moment, to know Jesus loves me. It is by grace I have been saved. I can't work at it anymore. I am so tired. I am so tired. I am so tired of just trying to impress God. I'm asking in this moment that that would be a release, and you would know he loves me, and he gave himself up for me. If you're in this place and you don't know Christ, if you never committed your life to him, not your works, but I'm talking about your life. Paul had that exchange. Paul had that moment with Jesus where his eyes were opened. And I've been doing it all wrong. I've been doing it all wrong. I've been on the wrong team. And I pray today is that day for you, that you've known that I'm on the wrong team. I need to be with Jesus, and it's because he loved me and he died on the cross for me, and that's it. That's why it's Jesus, and it's Jesus only. And Jesus has such a grace for me. God loves me that he gave his own son to die on the cross for me. And it was by the grace of God that I'm saved. It's not by my list of do's and don'ts. It's not by me impressing God. It's not by religion. It is because of Jesus Christ, and he loved me and he gave himself up for me, that I would respond to that. That I would respond to that. If you're here this morning, I encourage you to respond to the love of God for you. If you don't know Christ, and you know there is something within your spirit in this moment right now, is I need to know Christ. I want to confess that he is Lord. I want to give him my life. I want to be fully committed. I have played the game of religion and I'm done. I want to be fully committed. And I encourage you in this moment, this is your moment, that you would just simply in your spirit say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me of my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. But I believe that Jesus, you paid the price for those sins. And Jesus, through you, is the only way to heaven. Through you is the only way to the Father. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. And in this moment, I surrender. I confess that you are my Lord and that you are my Master. And that you are my King, I confess. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. I call on your name in this moment right now, wherever you're at. I call on your name. Jesus, save me and forgive me. And all heads are bowed. If you're in this place, man, I just want to know it. I was excited to get to this moment. You made a confession this morning to come to know Christ. On the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand real quick. 1, 2, 3. Put them up high, please. Put them up high. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep them up. Let me just see for a minute. I'm so excited. Lord, thank you so much. God, thank you so much that we would be fully committed to you. Church, if we could just stand to our feet, please. As we close out in this song, man, I just want all of us, say, Lord, where in my life do I need to fully commit? What pieces of my life do I need to commit to living by faith? Where am I at on this journey called life, this journey in my relationship with Christ? What is it in this moment, as we close in a song, that you could say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm rolling it over to you. It's time that I live by faith in this particular area. If anybody needs prayer for any reason, please, we'd love to pray with you. You want to talk more about Jesus? We love to talk Jesus. Come on, meet us right up here, please. Come on.